aboard the Truth Express with your conductors, Erskine and Karen, who give you the latest on national news, politics, policies, business, and government issues.
Johnson W. Emord, principal of Emord & Associates, practices constitutional and food and drug law in Washington, D.C., before federal courts and agencies. Now, he's the only attorney in American history to defeat the FDA 8 times in federal court, 7 times on First Amendment grounds. He's the author of Global Censorship of Health Information. Boy, we need a revision of that book right now, and The Rise of Tyranny. It's not rising anymore, it's here, and the incredible Restore the Republic. But now he's got his latest book, The Authoritarians, which is, by chance, one of the 47 best free enterprise books of all time. It just ranked number 11 on the list. And we're going to talk about how COVID suppression is killing Americans. Mr. Emord, how are you doing?
Doing well, Erskine. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well, but I'm really worried about what's going on in this country. We had Karen and I had a program last week talking with Patrick Wood, and we were talking about how they were censoring and the censorship that's going on. They censored the program we did talking about censorship.
I'm sure.
Oh, it's insanity. It's insanity.
I'm not surprised.
But the COVID-19 treatment suppression, COVID treatment suppression is killing Americans. They're not talking about treatment. They're talking about vaxxing everybody. And so people are dying. And then the thing we have not talked about is the number of people with COVID that people like Cuomo were putting in the nursing homes, and then they aren't prosecuting them for that. That's insanity, isn't it?
It is. You know, Omicron is the great equalizer because this wretched disease affects both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, those with natural immunity. It is a sign, very strong sign, that we're entering the endemic phase of the virus, leaving the pandemic phase, which is a good thing. That means that the virus is more contagious but less virulent, and that's what Omicron is.
Let me ask you, is this a phase where we're about to enter complete herd immunity?
Well, the immunity is there for those who have natural immunity and those who are vaccinated for a short time. But the presence of these more pervasive forms of the virus, where they're more contagious but less virulent, will pop through that immunity and infect us in new ways. And the reality of it is, though, that it's an evolution that results in less death, less hospitalization. So in that sense, we should be celebrating. The problem with the Biden administration is that it's like a horse with blinders on, and I should say a half-dead horse with blinders on when it comes to Biden. But the point is, he has this exclusive vaccination viewpoint and policy. He doesn't want anything to detract from maximum vaccination of the public, so he has entirely ignored treatment and done one step greater in the wrong direction, which is to suppress treatment information and to make it difficult to get treatments like ivermectin by aggressive federal pressure and state and coordinated state pressure to dissuade physicians from recommending any treatments. And then you have the shortages, entirely foreseeable that we would be in the endemic phase. They didn't prepare. They don't have the drugs. And these are all faults of the Biden administration. It's a stupid administration when it comes to this disease. And the reality is they are killing people. People are going to the hospital with Omicron who have comorbidities, who are at high risk of complications that may result in hospitalization and death, and they're being told, oh, you were vaccinated, go home, it's going to be mild. They're not immediately given treatments, and the treatments are hard to come by. There are some exceptions, like Florida, but by and large, across the United States, people are not getting the treatments they need. Ivermectin has been shown both in studies and in practice worldwide to substantially reduce the viral load by blocking the spike proteins from adhering to the ACE2 receptors, and it has other antiviral properties, and it has been a lifesaver. That's one treatment. They have other treatments like Paxlovid, which carry a greater risk of adverse effects, but nonetheless, when it comes to the comparative risk, a physician might make a judgment that you should have that. And there are many other treatments, for example, monoclonal antibodies, which are now in short supply, which have been real lifesavers, and fluvoxamine and hydroxychloroquine, and there are others. And what we need to do is to shift from this collectivist, one-size-fits-all vaccine approach to an individualized approach, a free market approach, where physicians and their patients may use their discretion in treating this disease early to avert hospitalization and death. If we allowed physicians the leeway to prescribe what they want to and didn't beat them up and tell them you shouldn't be prescribing, like, for example, ivermectin, very safe profile there, we'd be much better off. And we would then waltz through the endemic phase, and then we would be in a much better place overall. We're going to get there, but it's going to be with a lot of deaths thanks to the Biden administration.
Well, one of the problems is ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, there's no money to be made on it. They're not patented. The drug companies can't make any money.
Right. And that's why physician discretion and ensuring the availability of this through the states is the most important thing. There should be treatment centers all over the place.
Sure.
We should be able to get these drugs very easily in order to combat these diseases, because they work best when given at the first stage of infection, the first sign, symptom of infection.
So they're following the politics, they're not following the science, is what we're saying.
Precisely.
Now, what about all this testing? They keep talking about, we're going to have enough tests where somebody can have 8 tests a week, and this crazy stuff about all the testing. I've heard that even the tests are not that valid. They've had nurses who've turned in swabs that were just plain swabs, and they tested positive. What about the tests? Are they accurate at all?
Well, there is a degree of accuracy, and they do have false positives. And what we need to do is to make sure that the testing is available for those who are most vulnerable. But the Biden administration is operating on an insane methodology that is consistent with its class-based division approach to everything. So, for example, they are making available treatments and making available testing on a race-based distinction.
Right.
They're giving the tests that they have and the treatments they have preferential distribution to those who fall into certain racial and ethnic categories. I mean, that you couldn't be more profoundly discriminatory than they are. But we are all Americans. We are all vulnerable to this thing. We should be treating this way. We shouldn't divide people based on whether they have immunity or not, or whether they have been vaccinated or not. He tries to divide the world based on vaccinated and unvaccinated. He wants the unvaccinated to be discriminated against.
Right.
This is outrageous. We should be treating anyone who's sick. We should be looking at this as a problem to conquer, not as a means by which to divide our society and to create divisions that harm people, cause hospitals to turn away the unvaccinated, cause physicians to deny them treatment. This is what Biden is doing. He's breeding a society at each other's throats.
Well, the one thing they did in Florida, they did class division. They said the elderly are most likely to die. We need to take better care of them first. And they're right about that, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But notice it's not based on the race of the elderly.
No, it's based on age.
But
that's based on
vulnerability.
Standards that show that their mortality is much more likely.
That's
that
based
they aren't
on
going
vulnerability, and that's
if you're
the same
over
way,
80, right.
That's the same way they should deal with testing, based on vulnerability.
Right.
The idea that you're going to get
people. And that would take away all this with the kids, wouldn't it?
Oh, look at the kids. This masking, you know, it's madness. Masks, there's very little scientific evidence, very little indeed, that shows any beneficial effect of masking. And here you're taking children who learn very much based on facial expression, particularly
sure.
at the primary grades, and you're putting them in a mask 20, you know, the 8 hours a day in school. You're causing these little kids to be denied the opportunity for socialization, for the ability to learn from the expressions of their teachers and to have a full experience of education and socialization. And you're doing this for what reason? There is no good reason.
No, kids don't get it. They don't have the receptor sites formed, according to Dr. Simone and other legitimate, let me underline that, legitimate doctors. Let me ask you a question from a legal standpoint. Mandates, mandating that people wear masks, mandating that they be vaccinated is really close to mandating that. Mandating all of these things, what's happened with the nurses. They've had demonstrations all over the country. My body, no shot. No, my body, no shot. When nurses are saying that, they were our frontline heroes. Mandating that people in the military, all these people, be having to take this. This has never happened before. Is this going to, is the Supreme Court going to restrict the mandates? Is that going to change? What's your thinking of that? If you were arguing it, how would you argue it, Mr. Emord?
Well, let me just first say that I think only a fool would try to predict how all, you know, how nine justices of the court are going to act. But it does look like it would be very, very difficult for the court to find the employer mandate constitutional, because it is so outrageously contrary both to the Constitution, which in the first instance, the use of executive power to create a nationwide mandate for vaccination or testing is a legislative power inherently, and it would have to arise from a statute passed by Congress and signed by the President. There is no constitutional basis for the use of raw executive power in this way. It's authoritarian, and it's contrary to the basic separation of powers in the Constitution, which vests in Congress the power to
make
law. Well,
they're saying they're running it through OSHA as OSHA regulations, so
but
that makes
it
legal.
That's absurd, too, because even OSHA, in an earlier evaluation of the mandate, held that they had no power. It was only after Biden ordered them to use their power that they suddenly found it. They said that it did not exist, that it wasn't available under the statute. And indeed,
wow.
There is no power under the statute for an emergency temporary standard to be issued for a ubiquitous virus. It doesn't arise in the workplace. That's what that emergency temporary standard was designed to do. And so Biden, again, has abused the power. There is no basis in the enabling statute under OSHA for OSHA to issue an emergency temporary standard for a ubiquitous virus like this. Just not possible under the statute.
I mean, it's so, so very insightful of you to name your book The Authoritarians, because that's exactly what we're under, isn't it? Don't you think, Karen?
Absolutely. We do have to take a break.
With nearly 40 million jobs lost, these can be very uncertain times for many. As Americans seek a stable economic direction during the health crisis, many are predicting the rise of precious metals. Bank of America is predicting gold to nearly double to $3,000. Citibank's called for $2,000 gold this year. Patriot Gold Group has the logical answer. No fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver. Patriot Gold Group is consumer affairs top rated gold IRA dealer 4 years in a row, and at Patriot you work directly with an owner, avoiding inflated brokerage fees. Call 866-635-9151. Get your free investment guide today, and if you mention Erskine Radio Show, Patriot will give you $25 off your first purchase and free shipping. That's 866-635-9151. You always find links at their website and their phone number on erskineradio.com.
Jonathan E. Vimort, constitutional attorney, columnist for USA Today magazine, co-host of the Sacred Fire of Liberty Hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you so much, Mr. Emord, for joining us. Boy, constitutional attorneys, we need them so badly now. And I'm going to just jump right in and ask you a question. I've been rather pessimistic about the Supreme Court's decision on these vaccine mandates. Seems to me Amy Coney Barrett actually telegraphed some of her opinions on mandates, trying to justify them, and I'm not real comfortable about Roberts, Justice Roberts, either. I know you can't divine the future, but what do you think? And I don't think it's a conservative court.
Well, I think it's very hard to come up with a sound analytical structure in favor of the employer mandate. I think it's also deceptive to justify the CMS mandate. The second appeal dealt with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services mandate for healthcare workers that they be vaccinated unless they had a exception or unless they invoked a medical or religious exemption. For that second one, some commentators have said that they think that it's more likely the court will uphold it. And I'm not in agreement with that. I think it certainly is possible that they will, but the justifications given for upholding it are illegitimate. The notion that the federal government can condition a grant under CMS based on other examples where they have conditioned grants, the other examples don't equate with a national mandate that applies to every healthcare worker, making each healthcare worker be vaccinated, personally subjected, their personal autonomy invaded, and the options, particularly those available in the states, which have contradictory, many Republican states would disallow this mandate for them. And then you also have the other argument, which is that it's a common regulatory power used by CMS to govern these healthcare workers. I don't think so. This is the first time in American history in which there has been a national mandate imposed by the executive for vaccination against a disease that is ubiquitous like this. Again, it is a situation where people are being forced to divorce themselves from any other option and follow this vaccination mantra. What will the court do? I don't know. But I do think that it's more likely than not that that employer mandate is going to go down. And I would expect if the court were to follow constitutional law to ensure the integrity of limitations on the power of the executive, it would also strike down the CMS mandate.
Just a follow-up on that, if I could, Erskine, real quick, and that is, in light of everything that you just said, so sound, so sensible, we're watching them continue to mandate, which is unconstitutional, I think, to begin with, a vaccine that is neither safe nor effective, and people right and left, I don't know anybody who isn't sick, many of them have been vaccinated and they're getting it. So they're mandating something that is showing to be completely ineffective.
And that's one of the major arguments to undermine both the CMS and the employer mandate as well. We now know from Omicron that the boosters have an effectiveness longevity of about 90 days. And as you're pointing out, everybody is getting it, even ones who have been vaccinated and boosted. It's happening all over the country, and it's really revealing the lie of the Obama administration that if everybody would just get vaccinated, this is going to go away. Well, obviously, it's not going to go away, and that's not the solution. Treatment should be the focus.
Well, thank you for that. We do have to take a break, and we're talking to Jonathan Emord. You're listening to the Truth Express Radio with Erskine and Karen. We'll be right back.
Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs Operated, 5 years running for your IRA or 401k. Call 800-356-4470 today.
This is Truth Express Radio. We're talking with Jonathan E. Mord, Erskine with you, and also Karen Kathleen with us. And Mr. E. Mord's can get all of his information at townhall.com and emord.com. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you is this administration, unlike any other, takes no responsibility. You've got runaway inflation. They're blaming meatpacking companies. It's the meatpacking companies that are doing it. Runaway inflation concerning the oil and gas. Well, they're doing it on purpose because they want to bring in the electric cars. That's what they want to do. The first thing he did was stop the Keystone Pipeline. Excuse me, we're no longer energy independent. Bang, he can turn that off. And that put us in a terrible position. Uncontrolled immigration, no borders. They're flying illegals over, no vaccination, no mask, no nothing, all over the country. I mean, this is insanity. Is there not an adult in the room, Mr. E. Mort? Is there nobody taking responsibility for what's going on?
No, there isn't. Biden has bred a culture of no accountability. And that's true not only of the president and the vice president and his head of the Customs and Border Patrol and the Attorney General.
Mayorkas,
and Dr. Fauci.
You've got the whole list of them. None of them were appointed for meritocracy. They all were appointed for diversity. And Buttigieg is the transportation secretary. Where is he? Parental leave for 2 months in the middle of the supply chain crisis. None of them are taking any responsibility.
No, and, you know, it's quite obvious the source of inflation, which is ruinous. I mean, the most draconian punishment for those who are on fixed income and who are at the lower end of the economic spectrum is to be punished ruthlessly by the tax of inflation.
Sure.
And that inflation is brought about very simply by massive government spending into trillions and trillions pumped into the economy, but also by their utter destruction of the supply. You know, when you take, for example, with gasoline, you destroy the XL pipeline, you make it impossible to engage in fracking, you beat up the oil production companies, you impose taxation and regulation to make it difficult for domestic production.
No drilling on federal land. You restrict where you can drill.
Right. So you end up with a severe restriction of supply and command us to engage in imports from overseas, and you end up with massive inflation of gas prices.
Right.
And you also pay extended welfare benefits to people such that they have a disincentive to get back in the workforce, and they create these supply chain disruptions. They've created this inflation running rampant through the economy, and they haven't a concern. They're doing nothing, zero, to reverse it. In fact, they're banging their drum for far more government spending, far more inflation. They want to drown us in a socialist sea of inflation. They want us
this
to be like
not,
Venezuela with over 10,000% inflation.
I don't think it's by accident. They're doubling down on stupid. They are trying to create chaos. This is the way socialist regimes operate, isn't it?
How could it be accidental at this point?
When no, it can't
you just
be.
Got through for the last, what, 5 minutes talking about all the things that are being done to harm
right.
the economy, to harm the people. It's pretty hard at this point to say it's accidental, isn't it?
It isn't accidental. It's very purposeful. Just listen to Chuck Schumer. We're going to have transformational change. We're going to take this nation from a capitalist society to a socialist country. And he means to do that in the shortest period of time. They realize that in 2022 there's going to be a bloodbath, and they're trying to push this through in advance of it in order for them to transform this country into a socialist country. They're desperately clinging to this voting bill because they know through that they could rig the elections. They could end up with Democrats forever. And so they're trying to make mail-in voting and distort and allow for ballot harvesting and by the Democratic Party, like is done in California now. And that would destroy democracy.
Let me ask you a constitutional question, as you're a constitutional attorney. If you take and you change the voting requirements to where it's under the auspices of the federal government as opposed to under the auspices of the states, which is state legislatures, not even the governor, state legislature, constitution, if you change that, do you not have to change the constitution?
Absolutely. It's patently unconstitutional. The voting power is squarely placed in the hands of the states under the Constitution.
Right. So if they vote for this, if they vote for this, the point is they have to change the Constitution, which takes being changed by the legislatures of at least, I think, I don't know the number of states, but a number of states have to okay that to make a constitutional change. This is
right,
a major thing
states.
To do. When you're doing something unconstitutional, you can't legislate something in unconstitutional, and I don't know how the judges could rule any other way on this.
Yeah, it's patently unconstitutional. They wish to force their will by using executive power. You know, one of the things that they're going to do, and they have been doing, whenever they look at something and think it's difficult to pass through Congress, they immediately pivot and try to get it through the administrative state, which is easy as can be. Just order it. Just looked at the mandates. And that's the way they eliminated the XL pipeline. That's the way they eliminated fracking. That's the way they've opened up the borders and ignored the immigration laws. All of that is through executive action using the administrative state to implement these unlawful, unconstitutional actions. This president is the grossest violator of federal law and the Constitution that we've ever had. Oh. He's the most inept president as well. I mean, he's remarkably a first in so many negative categories that he ends up living in infamy after his 4 years in office. People are fed up. I mean, we've reached a boiling point in this country. People are steaming mad.
Jonathan, what did our founders, if anything, I hear a lot of things, I'd love to hear from you. What did they make as a provision for this brazen violation of the Constitution using the administrative state to impose unconstitutional laws? What do you think is the best solution?
As I explain in the authoritarians, really from the very start, the purpose of the administrative state was to circumvent the limits on power in the Constitution. It's patently unconstitutional. It was intended to eliminate the Constitution as a barrier to the use of executive power, to direct governance, in other words, to tyranny, as the Founding Fathers understood it. Thomas Jefferson said in his first inaugural address, the very simple requirements for the maintenance of our republic. He said, a wise and frugal government shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This notion of a good government, of a limited government, of a government that was possessed of powers that would be checked and regulated within the Constitution's structure of separation of powers, was the ideal that they believed could be achieved but were fearful would be lost, and would be lost for the very reasons that we're seeing acted out today. They believed that individuals who are not possessed of a love of the Constitution, of a love of liberty, would gain power and selfishly abuse that power for self-aggrandizement and for their own wealth. And they realized that a vigilant public was necessary to check these abuses, because they couldn't be counted upon to rely on government. They were distrustful of government, rightly so. We see the reason why. And they believed that a vigilant public, a public that loved the Constitution, that loved its liberty, would guard against this. What they didn't anticipate was that the population at large could be bribed by government into abandoning its liberties and giving up a strong defense, a strident defense for liberty. And that is the ruin of this beautiful plan for a constitution that was designed to protect the rights of the governed, that governments were instituted among men for the very purpose of protecting the rights of the governed. and that would make them sovereign. What we're seeing today is the reverse. The reverse, which is a common point of destruction of societies worldwide. We have this unique experiment in individual liberty in this country, and we're seeing it being destroyed. We're not there yet, and there is hope, and we can change this, but it requires a vigilant public, and I think people are fed up, and I think they're ready to make a big change. And in 2022, I think we're going to see the start of it when both the House and the Senate flip to Republican hands. But we're going to have to see Joe Biden go away, and we're going to have to see a Republican in the White House in order for the true full implementation of limits on government to be restored. Whether they will be true to that goal or not is the big question. But the people are the source of the sacred fire of liberty, as Washington put it. They must keep these leaders in line. They must hold them to the fire and make sure that they restore the Constitution and its limits on power so we can be free and our children can be free, and this scourge of the resurgent socialism we're seeing can be eliminated permanently from this country.
One of the things you're talking about, the scourge of the resurgence of socialism, we fought wars throughout the last century. World War II was fought against National Socialists, the Nazis. You had the war against the communist called Korea. You had the Vietnam. They all were wars against socialists, and now we've got avowed socialists in Congress and Democratic Socialists of America, AOC, Rashid Tlaib, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, Bernie Sanders, Ilhan Omar. Now, they are not supposed to be in Congress under Article 6, Clause 3 of the Constitution. How can we get them out?
Yeah, Article 4, Section 6. Article 4, Section 6 requires that they swear an oath to support the Constitution. That's a condition precedent to their serving in office.
Right.
So obviously they violated that oath, and they violated their right, therefore, to be in Congress. The Congress of the United States has an eligibility requirement that is substantive. You must support the Constitution. By its very nature,
that's
socialism.
Article 6, Clause 3. All representatives, senators, members of state legislature, judicial officers, both of the United States and several states, shall be bound by the oath of affirmation to support the Constitution.
That's very clear.
They can't support it, though.
And
so what do we do about that?
Article 4, Section 6.
Sorry. We're watching it right now. Them lawless lawmakers making laws on the rest of us.
Right.
They are unconstitutional.
They are illegitimate. They may not serve in Congress under the Constitution. Anyone who is an avowed socialist obviously violates the Constitution because
and
the
look
Constitution
at the committees they're
defines
on. They're
a limited federal republic, not a socialist
Smallwell
state.
And these people are on committees to give our secrets to our enemies.
But, you know, that provision does not just apply to the federal government. It also applies to the state government. It's one of the unique aspects of exertion of federal power over the states in the Constitution. And furthermore, the Constitution guarantees a Republican form of government by the federal government to the states. The states are guaranteed a Republican form. So in states like Washington State, for example, and Oregon, where they have gone off the deep end and have socialists who are in city councils and who are mayors and who are governors, those states are in a state of rebellion. They are violating this constitutional guarantee, and we can enforce that guarantee, and we can ensure that those violent acts of socialist rebellion are suppressed.
How do you enforce it? Right.
Okay, so look, we had the Whiskey Rebellion, and that was an act of insurrection against the Republic early in the history of the Republic. What happened?
Right.
George Washington was president. George Washington was commander-in-chief. He assumed the mantle of commander-in-chief, rode on a stallion to go to Pennsylvania and put down the rebellion, and he asked for the militia of the various states to join him. He had some 15,000 troops joining him in his march towards these rebellious individuals who had taken control over the Congress, who actually were threatening members of Congress unless they were given their pay by an act of Congress. And so he came down there, and they disbanded before he actually had to use force. But he was prepared to use force. And likewise, a president of the United States. You see all this rioting outside the federal building in Oregon and in Washington and in California. You see these rioting, looting, arson, these acts of violence, property destruction, where the local authorities abandon the police, don't fund them, and will not exert power stop this. Then the federal government can act against it and send federal forces and invoke those provisions that protect and guarantee a Republican form of government. The Antifa and BLM are dedicated to the destruction of the government of the United States, both local, state, and national. That's an avowed purpose. When they go and they destroy these things, they attack the MERV federal building in Washington, firebomb it, and so forth. They are engaged in an insurrection. These people are trying to overthrow the government. That is a criminal act, but it is also an unconstitutional act that we can act against. The president can use executive power to put it down. And it's cowardice that this administration allows it to continue.
Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs operated 5 years running for your IRA or 401k. Call 800-356-4470 today.
Talked about everything wrong, everything that has gone wrong, and we've talked about a lot of the issues that are going on. But having, especially some of the things that can be done going to the courts. Mr. Emort, are you optimistic? Tell us something optimistic. Do you feel like our country is going to survive and turn around? And are we starting to wake up? How do you feel?
Well, I am optimistic in the long run. And the real reason for it is something that really we can see in Abraham Lincoln's speeches. For example, his calling upon us to rekindle or recall the cords that tie us to our founding principles. Americans are slow, you know, we have a silent majority, and we're slow to anger, and we tolerate quite a bit of abuse before we finally say, okay, I'm going to take time from my work, and I'm going to devote myself to fixing this. And we have rising across the country, the citizen politician. We have people going to school boards and complaining about the extraordinary abuses, the socialist critical race theory, division and segregation and racism that they're reintroducing all across the country in both high schools and grade schools and colleges. And people are rising up against that in the school boards, and they're rising up against this movement to destroy gender as a distinguishing characteristic from nature, and they're working diligently against it and effectively, like they are in Loudoun County, Virginia. These are examples of people rising, and this is continuing. And I think that's going to result in elections in 2022, where the House and the Senate will flip to Republican side, with new people coming in dedicated to a restoration of constitutional government, dedicated to getting the government out of our lives and allowing the market to flourish again, ending the mandates, ending all of these requirements that kids go through critical race theory, and restoring our nation's reputation around the world as a defender of individual liberty, and not allowing having us kowtow to the Chinese or to the Iranians, but stand up against them and stand for our republic against these abuses worldwide and at home.
I think it's going to take the women, and we saw it in Loudoun County, the Mama Bear Revolution, when they start saying that the children belong to the state. At that point, Mama Bear comes out of the cave, and she ain't happy. And this is exactly what's happening, I think, and that's a major plus, isn't it? You don't want to wake Mama Bear up.
No,
I agree.
It's
remarkable to see the suburban women in Virginia, for example, who had been counted upon by the Democrats to vote for them as they had voted for
Joe Biden.
Well,
everyone knows the suburban housewife was a Democrat vote. No more. You take her children away, she's coming out fighting.
Not only that, the suburban women found the issues to be the economy number one. And this inflation is destroying the home. I mean, it is wrecking families, and women who are in the workforce or who are at home are realizing that they cannot live with this, and they're standing up for their families. And it's great to see it. I mean, I'm right next to Loudoun County right now, and I live near Loudoun County. And it's magnificent to see these women standing up for the rights of their children against the abusive power of the state, a power that thought it could act in any way it cared to towards their children without allowing them a single voice, not even allowing them to be heard. But boy, oh boy, with the Youngkin election, we certainly taught them a lesson. And it's Youngkin is going to implement reforms that are going to change
it. Every restaurant that closes is the end of somebody's dream. And they're not going to forget it, who killed their dream.
That's
right. And even the outrage of being called a domestic terrorist for
simply going to
a school board meeting and standing up against having your children be taught flat-out racism and bigotry, I think it backfires in a spectacular way, doesn't it? Because
I agree, Karen.
If you can ask a question and you're American, right, and then you get retaliated against to a ridiculous degree, it lets you know you're on the right track, doesn't it?
Yeah,
outrageous. What an abuse of
power.
When
your daughter's raped by some guy in a bathroom. That's terrible.
Yeah, these are all examples of neglect, abuse of power, and of a far-left agenda being shoved down the throats of these kids. They wanted to be able to turn these kids into radical leftist revolutionaries by indoctrinating them from preschool all the way through high school and college. Well, they learned that Mama Bear doesn't want that to happen to their children. And they have also learned that the federal government can't get away with treating women, family members, as domestic terrorists because they're standing up for their kids before a school board.
Thank you, Mr. Emord. Thank you so much. We need your counsel.
You can listen on your favorite podcast app or local radio station.
Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs operated 5 years running for your IRA or 401k. Call 800-356-4470 today.
All right, so I was looking for new insurance, and a buddy of mine told me about Branch. Branch makes bundling your home and auto super easy, like as little as 30 seconds easy. I didn't believe it at first either. Then I went to ourbranch.com. Just 2 questions, name and address, and within seconds, I was covered. Branch saved me time and a lot of money. Now that you're in the know, make the switch to Branch. Go to ourbranch.com now. That's OURbranch.com. Branch. Start saving in seconds.
If your law firm has over 30 employees, your workflows are likely complex. IQ integrates adaptable technology with your existing tools to centralize information and simplify key processes for every member of your firm. Stop wasting time on tedious tasks and do more of what you love. Schedule a demo call to see how HiQ moves legal processes forward and receive a $25 lunch e-gift card absolutely free. Offer ends soon. Click or tap the banner to learn more.